Thank you for joining the Sunday Buzz. Here's your host, Bill Vickery.
Unbelievable.
/11:23 on your Sunday Buzz this latest Sunday morning. Matt DeCampo sitting in for Bill Vickery out of town on his way back into town. He will be back next week. In the meantime, have Brett Eiler from The Joint and Jordan Johnson of Jordan Johnsondom in the studio helping us out in the last hour. And with these two guys here, I want to talk about political comedy because, first of all, Brett, at The Joint last year, you guys did an entire show about the 2012 election that was not at all about the 2012 election.
Right.
What kind of response did that get from people who can, in a time when people can be especially sensitive about politics?
It was very interesting to watch because we get all sorts over at that place. And the thing I noticed the most was that everybody would choose their favorites. And it's just like politics. I mean, if you're the Republican, you're going with them, and Democrat and so forth. But I played mainly the Republicans, and every once in a while you would get people sitting out there that would hoop and holler for me when I would start making points. So I was like, okay, all right, great. And it was, as long as you make fun of everybody, I think you're fine. You know, and that was our real trick of everything, is we went after everyone. It doesn't matter. You're an independent, it doesn't matter. You're going to get some. And I think that's really the trick of it anymore.
Did you have people that would come up to you all after the shows thanking you for something that they thought that you were, some agenda that you were pushing or something that was not at all in the script or what you were doing?
Oh, yes. we had a lot of people. Thank you so much for supporting the president. Thank you so much for, I mean, it was very strange to just, we're not really pushing anything. We're just trying to make people laugh. And they, you know how it was. It was very, very contentious and everybody was up in each other's face. But everyone left happy and that's all we really cared about.
Well, good. And too, Jordan, I mean, you remember, I think, during the Clinton years, mm-hmm. you saw more embracing of comedy mm-hmm. as a political tool than you, I think, you definitely saw during any of the previous, mm-hmm. I mean, many, many administrations.
Well, you saw that shtick that he did on his way out, his last few weeks of office. I mean, it had it showed him washing the limousine, and it had the Yahtzee guy. It was and that we have actually that playing over at the Clinton Center right now on one of the exhibits. But yeah, I think humor has brought an element. It has actually increased interest in politics to some degree, and in particularly those people we talked about last hour, about people who are kind of jaded, get cumbersome with the traditional news and the talking heads of cable, the Jon Stewarts, the Saturday Night Lives, that sort of thing brings other people in, particularly independents, where people can have a little bit of fun, but also a little bit of joy out of it, too.
Well, and I read an article in the past week or so, and I think it was on Slate, about the contrast between, like you say, Jon Stewart, who wears his comedy very much, I mean, wears his opinions very much on his sleeve in his comedy, as opposed to, say, Johnny Carson, 30 years ago now, who tried to be as apolitical as possible and made sure, to your point, Brett, to poke fun of everyone equally. And he had a lot of strong political feelings, but he almost never voiced them because he even said at the time, it's not in his best interest because everyone watches him because he's Johnny Carson and not because of what he thinks personally. And that seems to be changing. Do you think that's just the way things are today, or is that kind of a shift that's just the way it's going to be from now on?
I think it is a shift. You go back to Johnny Carson and Bill Clinton. One of the first times that Johnny Carson really overly piled on somebody, I mean, not it was Clinton when he gave the 88.
The 88 address, yeah.
You know,
that never ended.
And so he brought him on there, and the fact that Clinton embraced that, and, you know, he had the hourglass, and he turned it upside down, it was a classic moment. Okay, you have you know, he said, "What's your response to that?" And he turns over, Johnny Carson turns over the hourglass, and that embracing that political figure of that time, that high end embracing political commentary, right, and humor, opened the door, I think, and I think it's a trend that you're going to see more so. And now you look at certain, ratings and that sort of thing. Jon Stewart, yes, he does wear it on his sleeve, his chest, his head, everything else, but you look at the ratings he has, and people really are starting to take political value out of those things. And so I think it's a trend you're going to see. Even I think you're going to see less probably political talking heads per se, and more of the comedy, the political satire sprout up.
Well, and comedy has always been about finding things that people share in common and putting a funny twist or a funny observation on it. And I think what The Daily Show did, and of course they took off with that 2000 election, is to take people's frustration with politics, yeah, to take things that a lot of people are feeling, and for at least that niche audience to you know, throw it out there. And a lot of the shows that you guys are doing now at The Joint, even though it's not politics in the traditional sense, right, it's a lot of family politics.
Yes.
And that is something that has resonated, of course, even longer than regular politics. And talk a little bit about what comes together there and how they've been able to bring it from other states to now Arkansas.
Well, the dynamic of the whole deal was, the story was, is that the father was Republican, the mother was a Democrat, and then the son was an anarchist. And
that's a hell of a combination.
Yes, and so it was following these three people and how they tried to learn from each other and how they would argue with one another. And I really think that it's out of that, people are becoming a little bit more accepting of everybody else's views. It's easier to do it with comedy than anything else, because you can bash everything, but as long as people are end up laughing about it, it's just fine. And that, I think you're right, that the talking heads are going to start going away, I hope, anyway, and they'll be replaced with funnier, wittier people. It's a bigger audience you can reach with that. It's much easier, too. It's a different type of tactic.
Well, I guess we have to interrupt, because speaking of funny, witty people, everyone is calling in to help cover with Bill gone, because they can tell I need it. I believe we've got David Basil on the phone. Are you there, Baz?
Well, let me just say, I am going to be the president of the Matt DeCampbell Show now, and I'm very impressed. And you are going to be, Matt, and I don't know if this is a tag team, if all of you, or if this is your show, Matt, but either way, you're going to be the Colin Kaepernick of the buzz.
Oh, dear.
You know, Bill's gone. Just like, you know, the other starting quarterback for the 49ers, you put number two in, and number one never gets back. It's all your show every Sunday from this point on. But I didn't want to say you're doing a good job, Jordan Johnson. Very, very nice. You know, if you guys want to come on and do the show with me during the week, since Tommy's been gone for a while. I want to say real quick too, Matt, I was with the governor last night at the Elvis.
Yeah, Cody Slaughter.
We had the bromance that the governor has with Cody Slaughter, and it was a fun night. But anyway, the main thing I just want to say hi to you guys, and I just what do you think of a 3-hour radio show?
Well, it's a little bit it's a little bit cumbersome. It's a little bit intimidating for sure. And now I got to grow some biceps and get a bunch of tattoos if I'm going to pull the Kaepernick, because that boy is ripped.
I'm telling you, you are going to be the Kaepernick of the bus. Bill Vickery's going to remember this day. He was in Tampa and he never got his show back. It's going to be your show ever.
I can't decide if saying that's a compliment or a curse on me, David, but I appreciate it very much.
It's all good. Matt, you're a super talented guy, and of course, Jordan and I go back a long way. So anyway, just enjoy listening to you guys. Have a great great Sunday.
Thanks, Baz.
You too, Baz. Guys, thanks. And that was not at all a planted call, I promise. That, not in the least. But now you're shifting to from government politics to family politics.
Yes.
Which goes much further back than political comedy ever did, and that seems to be translating well as well.
Oh, yes. The next show that we're doing is called Last Night at Orabella's. We just opened it up this weekend, and it's part of the Fertile Family shows. Steve Farrell has written this whole entire saga of shows. I think it's around 12 or so. Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve.
Call in, Steve, because everyone else is
today.
Come
on, why not? It's this family that lives in a tiny town called Dumpster, Arkansas, and It is a very strange and wonderful little town, and this is about a honky-tonk, the most popular place in town. It's closing down because Orabella passed away, and Uncle Al doesn't want to keep the place open. But on that night, a couple of strangers from out of town come in and get to witness the entirety of the bizarre shenanigans that are happening at this honky-tonk.
Who doesn't love bizarre shenanigans?
Exactly. So, but it's a lot of fun, and it does examine, well, this guy is dealing with the death of his wife, and how is the guy, how exactly is he going to get over this type of thing? And he's got a woman that's chasing him the entire time, trying to get him to marry him, and things just go haywire very, very quickly.
And what we have not pointed out about these shows is that Brett and the Farrells are the only people on stage, so you'll have 20-plus characters per show portrayed by three people, and the switches they do is quite amazing, to be sure. And that runs how long until? March?
It runs until the end of April.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a long run. We've got a good long time to get this one underneath us. That'll be good.
Fridays and Saturdays for that. Well, we got a break to hit here about soon?
Coming up in a couple of minutes.
In a couple of minutes, okay, which means I have to keep talking. It's not that I'm sick of talking to you guys. I just don't want to miss a break. But the main thing's Friday and Saturday night, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m.
$20.
And the joint is where exactly?
The joint is on Main Street in North Little Rock, right across the street from help me out here.
City Hall and
City
Galaxy
Hall, thank
Furniture.
You. Galaxy Furniture, right
next to
Cregan's. Fittingly
located across from City Hall.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And
it's on the trolley route.
Yes, you can stop by, wave at us as you drive by. Can't miss us. I mean, it's a lot of people are walking by because they think it's two separate entities, the theater and the coffee shop.
Yeah.
It is not. I can assure you.
Well, you know the host of this show, Bill Vickery, is a big fan of the trolleys.
Oh,
so you'll see. He'll probably ride the trolley over there to see y'all.
This is the most trolley discussion that's been allowed on this show in a very long time. And when he comes back, that's going to be tricky for him. When we come back, I want to talk about some very important nonsense about Manti Te'o, because we can't do a show without at least bringing it up.
That's
and, of course,
true.
His interview was this week, and I want to talk some stuff out, especially with Brett, for reasons that we'll explain when we come back. So stick around. Sunday Buzz, we've still got one more segment of quality after this.
So one, two, three, take my hand and come with me because you look so